Awesome job. I can listen to you two all day long. For real. Good morning, Christ Church. How's everybody doing this beautiful morning? For those who may not know who I am, my name is Jovan. I am actually the youth pastor here at Christ Church. I get the privilege serving some of the best students in the world. I'm here to on behalf, and Katie asked me to be here to kind of substitute. But I love coming to this campus. The reason why is because I always go back with a good report. You guys are amazing. You guys have a blessed campus, and you also have an amazing leader in Katie. I'm so thankful for Katie. I'm so thankful for her spirit. Her spirit to serve, her spirit of joy, her spirit to preach. And I'm just so thankful to be on a team with her. And you guys are so spoiled to have a leader like her. So I just want to let you guys know we should be thankful for Katie and all that she does for us. I want to let you guys know we are continuing our sermon series. We're actually in our second week of a new sermon series we just started called Self-Control. And I don't know about you, but this has been one for me that has been helping me out a lot. It's been convicting me in certain ways that has actually been challenging me. And that's what we want to try to do a little bit today. Every time we meet together, we don't just want to come here and create a moment and then forget about it later on. What we want to try to do is we want to try to challenge ourselves, but also take our challenges home with us, and then we move forward. We want to see progress. We want to see change in some type of ways in our lives. That's what I pray, and I hope that today's message does for us. And I pray that you guys would lean in and listen to what I believe God wants to deposit onto your soul today. So will you do that with me today? Will you bow your heads, and I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for just this wonderful gift that we have in you. I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity of being in your presence, serving with you, Lord. And I just pray that the people that are here, your sons and your daughters, those who are here, they walked in here with some baggage. They walked in here not knowing what's next, not knowing what the future is going to look like, not knowing where to take their next step. But I pray that they would just listen to your words. Your word says that you send forth your word and it penetrates into our hearts. And I pray that your word would penetrate our hearts today. Because for a lot of us, our hearts are heavy. Our hearts are so much sorrow. And again, I just pray that today we would just lean in and understand this benefit of serving and following you. I pray that somebody makes a drastic change in their lives to give it to you. Lord, I thank you. In Christ's name is who I pray. Amen. Well, if you guys may have read the news, actually in 2017, Northern and Southern California, they were devastated with events of wildfires. I don't know if you guys may have heard about it. This actually is one that happened in December of 2017. They actually had one that happened a few months before that event. And they did the math and all of the crazy stuff that were going on. The wildfire, it ended up destroying over hundreds of thousands of acres. Millions of trees, homes were destroyed, businesses were destroyed, and unfortunately, people lost their lives in something like this. But this specific event that happened, this one that took place in December, they said this was the worst one. They said this one took days, and it went on and on, and it was so huge, and it was so massive. And when we think about this, or when we look at something like this, we tend to ask ourselves, well, how does something like this happen? How does something like this take place? How does something like this go on for so long and cause so much devastation? And people that are smarter than me, they got together and they tried to figure out as well. And one thing that they came up with, the conclusion that they came up with was nature, right? Nature just took its course. It's just natural disaster. That's just how it is. That's just how things go. And they broke it down and they kind of said that these are some of the reasons that caused the fire. They said, number one, they could have been rain or the lack thereof. You know, when it gets too hot and the humidity is all crazy and whatnot, and then there's a drought of rain, you know, eventually it can potentially cause something like this. Now, church, I'm giving you the surface stuff. I'm a preacher, not a meteorologist. So if you want to really know, that's why Jesus gave us Google. Go on Google, because that's where I went. Whenever you need to know anything, go to Christ and Google. So So they said that it was the lack of rain, and also they said it was wind. Now, the wind doesn't cause the fire, but the wind spreads the fire, right? The strong winds that push the fire to spread in all different types of directions. What's interesting, though, that when I read this study, and I thought would be necessary for us to talk about today, what's interesting is, though, 90% of wildfires in America alone, 90% of them are caused by us. And I thought that was so crazy when I look at it, when I think about this. And they kind of gave reasons about it. They kind of said, well, it's due to the fact that, you know, Americans, we love to camp outside. Therefore, when we camp, we have the campfire. And sometimes people leave their campfire unattended. Sometimes when they put their campfire out, it doesn't completely go out. They neglect the fact that it still could be burning, so they never fully put it out. They also talked about how some people, they discard waste in the woods, which is really weird. People go in the woods and they discard waste. And again, it's just neglecting the fact that it can cause a major travesty at that moment. Also, they talked about arson. Now, I was the type of kid, I like to burn stuff, but I didn't like to set things on fire like that. Now, and I thought that it was so crazy. But what's interesting is I bring that up because I want us to think about this idea that you and I have something in our lives we can't control. You and I have something in our lives that we can't control. And it's a number of things. And we're going to go over that in just a little bit. There are just some things in our lives we can't handle. We can't manage. We have a hard time doing. And when we don't understand and when we don't fully commit to trying to reach the things that we can't control, it become a wildfire. It can be like a wildfire inside of us. The things that we have. See, each and every one of us are drawn to desires. We're drawn to impulses. We're created somehow for some reason. We're people that want more and more and indulging and putting in and bringing in so much. But little did you know that the more and more stuff that you seek after, the more and more things that you don't control, it could be a wildfire going on inside of you. Each and every one of us in this room today, even the preacher himself standing up here, has something that they struggle with. One, two, maybe three. Maybe it's a multiple amount of things. And it could be something small. It could be something major. We all have something that we have a hard time controlling. Let's start on a lighter level, shall we? For instance, if you put a plate of brownies in front of me, that bad boy is gone. Like, gone. Like, ask my wife. Like, I can barely walk past a bakery without taking a... Like, it's crazy how addicting I am to sweets, and trying to find the impulse, trying to say no to that can be hard, right? Or how about this spending habits? Anybody got a problem spending like me? Every time you see something that's appealing, every time you see something, I do like this math in my head that doesn't make sense. For some reason, I do like a budget right up here, and I just think I can afford it. Then later on, I pay for it. Or how about this? Some of us have a hard time controlling emotions. I know anger has gotten the best of me. I know anger has showed himself more and more in my life, and I've paid for it. I know anger has been something that has been a part of me. I know it's something that has affected me so many times, and maybe it's just not anger. Maybe it's resentment. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's guilt. The thing about it is we have a hard time managing some of those things. Controlling your thoughts. Some of us live in anxiety. Some of us live in worry. We live, though, we live there and we camp there all the time. Being anxious about what's going to happen and if this is going to happen, is this person going to be better? Am I going to be better? And what happens is when we do it so many times, when we give in left and right, it controls us. We see no way out. The one thing I'm controlled by is, and it seems to always be default in my life, is pride. Because maybe you're like me, I'm the type of person, I like to be right. I like to be right. And I would go at any ends to make sure that I'm right. Maybe you lack control of an addiction in your life. Lust. Drugs. Alcohol. You want something that brings satisfaction, but you only find it in those areas. I don't know about you, but the things that I've just listed, and there's many more that we can go over, but I don't know about you, but I have suffered so much lost because of things I couldn't control. I've lost opportunity. I've lost friends. I've lost families. I've broken trust. I've done so much because of the things that I can't control. See, the fact of the matter is that the real issue is, honestly, those things honestly control us. Sometimes we can't even live our life because so many times greed is carrying us. Sometimes we can't even intentionally try to be happy because half the time fear is the dominant force in our lives. We tend to bend towards our impulses. A lot of my struggles that I go through, they started when I was a young man. And what happens is, like the campfire, when you leave it unattended, when you don't take care of it, when you don't completely put it out, it shows back up. And a lot of things that I've been through, it continues to show back up day and day, time after time, moment after moment, relationship after relationship, whatever it may be. The lack of control, or when we neglect things or when we leave it unattended, we know that many things, it can take a hit in so many places. Our character takes a hit. We begin to identify with those things. We begin to identify with fear, to identify with worry, to identify with anger. Some of us have earned a reputation because of the choices that we've made. Some of us have earned a reputation because of the things we can't control, the things that we give into so easily. Our character takes a hit. But not only that, our relationships too. I know some of us have hurt people drastically. I know some of us have hurt people in a way that's led to them not trusting us, not being able to have a relationship with us. But also I've noticed, and I want to say that this has been really where the place in my life that it really takes a hit is my walk with God. It's my walk with God. I can't see clearly in my vision, in my work with God, if I'm so oftenly given in to the impulses that I struggle with. Much of our outward struggles that we face is due to the imbalance of the inward desires and the inward impulse and the inward stuff that I continually to get into. We have to realize if we don't take care of it right now, it's going to continue to be a wildfire. We don't take care of it right now, and if we don't take control, it's going to continue to be a wildfire in my life. We have to realize that it takes us to stand up. Because here's the thing that I want you guys to know. What you give into now, later on, you'll be prone to give into more. You don't just give into anger. Anger starts, you start to give it into resentment. You don't just start giving into resentment. You start giving into grief. And thing after thing, moment after moment, that's why it takes us to be disciplined right here. And that's what we want to talk about. Because life is about discipline. Think about it. Life takes discipline. Everything that you do takes discipline. Think about the car that you drive. Right? In order for your car to have longevity, what do you got to do? You got to take care of it. You got to get the oil changed. Got to get the tires rotated. Got to take it to the mechanic. Got to get the e-check. Got to do all those things for it to have longevity in its life. You got to be disciplined with the car in the same way. It's the same thing in our souls. We got to check our souls. We got to do some work on us. We got to change some things in us, kind of like we do with it, with the things that we have in our lives. And you and I have an opportunity to be disciplined. We just got to point it towards something necessary. We all have an opportunity to be disciplined in many parts, in many areas in our lives. For us to have a true, authentic example of this, it takes for us to look into a place that is not empty. It takes for us to look into a place that brings fullness. It takes for us to look into a place that brings real change, and that's God's word and what God has to say. And what God wants us to see. But God desires his children to have discipline in their lives. He desires us to be disciplined, to take control of those things. I don't know about you, but don't you want to take control today? Aren't you tired? One of my favorite lines I used to hear growing up, I'm tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of being anxious all the time. Even when things don't work out the way that I'm tired of being fearful and everything. I'm tired of being behind in my bills. I'm tired of not having a healthy relationship. I'm tired because I want you to win today. As a matter of fact, Christ wants you to win today. Christ wants you to take control. Christ wants you to get back what you've lost. Christ wants that for you in your life. You do that with me today. Think about what you need to control in your life. The one area that we need to be intentional about this is discipline. Because when you and I learn to be disciplined, we master self-control. Because what you don't control becomes repetitive. Our habits seem to be the issues in our lives. What you don't control can become repetitive. And I want to take a look at scripture today because I believe scripture, again, brings forth this light into our lives, brings forth this understanding for you and I to really see past it. Because like I said in the beginning, I want to see progress. I want to see progress. I want to move forward. I want to see change. I want to see things different. And I know you do too. Because I'm going to be honest with you, there are so many things on the line. Because if we don't do it, there are so many things on the line. Our marriage is on the line. Our health is on the line. Our friendships are on the line. Our careers are on the line. And we got to do something about it so we can win. I want to turn into the scripture today that we're going to come out of. And actually, we're going to come out of a New Testament, which is found in the Bible, a New Testament letter that is written by this guy by the name of the Apostle Paul. Some of us may have heard of the Apostle Paul. He was once a guy who hated Christianity, who couldn't stand Christians. But at one point in his life, Jesus showed up, because that's what I want Christ to do, the same thing today. Jesus showed up into his life, and he had this drastic change. And next you know, he becomes this great church leader. He spreads the gospel. He goes from region to region, city to city, planting churches. And one of the churches that he planted was this church in Corinth, ancient Corinth, which is actually found in Greece. And he wrote two letters to them, and we're going to read the first letter called 1 Corinthians. We're going to pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and the Apostle Paul wants to speak to us about discipline that we have to establish in each and every one of our lives. The discipline for our Christian lives, discipline for anybody to really fully develop inside of it. Because a life full of discipline is a life full of destiny. I want to reach my destiny, but I got to be disciplined to do it. And I know you do too. I know you do too. A life full of discipline is a life full of destiny. Let's read into the scriptures. And we're picking up at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23 is actually what I'm going to start at. Now, to give you guys context, because context is big and it's key for us to understand the scriptures fully. Paul is actually defending himself right now, right? Although he started the church, they were beginning to kind of have conflict with them. They really were beginning to believe that Paul wasn't, you know, all real and all the things that he was doing and things that he's done. And, you know, Paul had to kind of let them know what he was all about. He went on and he explained that, hey, man, you know, I'm the type of person, I've been there for the poor. I preach to the hungry. I've done things. I've helped people. I am legit. That's pretty much what Paul is trying to explain to them. And verse 23 is actually where we're going to pick up and hear how he continues in his idea. He says this, I do it all for the sake of the gospel. Now, what is doing it all? Again, what he talked about earlier, all the stuff that he helps people with, all the things that he's done, all the moments that he's had in his ministry. He says, I do all of that for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Verse 24, it says, do you not know that the race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Verse 25, it says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable wreath. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. Verse 27, it ends, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. You see that? I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Paul again wants to bring clarity to this idea, man, we got to be disciplined in our lives. We got to bring discipline. And what he's going to do, he's actually going to use athletics to give us a metaphor of what this is going to look like. But verse 23 is where we need to start off at, because I believe that's where it brings light into what we want to say. Paul says, I do this. Everything that I do in my life is rooted for Jesus. Everything a part of me, everything in my life is founded off one thing, and that's Christ. Number one, a disciplined life is a life with purpose. Paul knew what he was purposed for in his life. Paul knew why he was intended, what he was created for. See, the thing about it is you and I can take control if we understand our identity. You and I can take control if we understand why we were created in this life. Because in order for us to run, we got to know why we're running. And Paul says, I run for the purpose that comes from God. He knew what he was intended for. Paul says, I wasn't intended, I wasn't created to give into impulses, to give into fear, to give into all those things. Paul says, I am an instrument. I am used for God's service. That's who I am. See, a lot of us have lost control because we don't know who we are. A lot of us have lost control because we don't know who we are. See, I want you guys to understand this. For those who haven't trusted Jesus with their lives, who you are is everything he is. Who you are is everything he is. All the things that you've done, all the things that you go through, all the things that you've committed, it doesn't define you. Christ defines you. It's Christ. I'm not made up by my past. My credit score doesn't make me. My past doesn't make me. My reputation doesn't make me, but it's Christ that makes me. You weren't created to give into every impulse that you give into. You weren't created to give into every desire and bend towards it every moment. You were created for something better, for something worthy, for something valuable. And that's what Paul says. I am created for something. I am intended for a purpose. We got to use ourselves in an intentional way. Look at this microphone. What is this microphone used for, right? To project my voice, right? Like this microphone is put here for the intentions to project my voice. Now, if I did this, some of you guys can hear me, right? Some of you guys can barely hear what I'm trying to say. But if I use it for its purpose, if I use it for what it was intended for, if I put it to its works and why it was created, then it fully comes to where it needs to be. Paul says he serves his purpose over his impulse. Paul says, I serve God's purpose over the things that I desire. And it takes about what you serve. Some of us serve our impulses. Some of us serve our desires. Watch what you serve. Because typically what you serve, you're sacrificed for. And if you serve the wrong thing, you'll make the wrong sacrifices. Just ask the addict. Just ask the parent that decided to put their job in front of their family. What you serve, you make sacrifices for. Be careful what you serve, because you'll make the wrong sacrifice. Some of us have sacrificed things that we wish we would have never done in our lives. You and I take control when we understand where our identity is. I will be identified by Christ alone. Christ alone. You and I belong to something greater. You and I were created for something bigger. You and I weren't created to always give in and always want every moment in our lives. We were created in the image of his goodness. We were created in the image of his pleasure. That's the reason why Paul says, I am who I am, because everything that I am is everything he is. Starts with your identity. You can run this race of life that Paul talks about. You can run this race of life well unless you know who you're running it for. Number two, he says it in verse 24. Do you not know that the race that all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Paul says that a disciplined life is a life pursuing the glory of Christ, that seeks to glorify Christ in their lives. A life that wants to fully please God. Because so many of us are so bent to pleasing ourselves, that's how we get out of whack. So many of us are bent towards the glorifying our bodies. That's how I get out of whack. Paul says, my body, again, I was created not to glorify what I want, but glorify what he desires. It starts with that. It can't become all about myself. It can't become all what I want and what I desire. I can't keep giving into lust. I can't keep giving into the bottle. I can't keep giving to those things because as I'm glorifying myself in that moment, and don't you feel bad about yourself after that? Christ, Paul says, listen, I glorify Christ. I seek him in everything that I do. Now, that does not mean that we're never going to make mistakes. I need everybody to understand that. Like, we're going to give in, but that's why we need Christ. We're going to make mistakes. That's why we need Christ. And when you do make a mistake, it's okay because you're covered. It's covered by grace. Grace allows us to understand that, yeah, we get a reset button. Grace allows us to understand, yeah, I may have given in. I may have done it again. I may have done those things and allowed anger to be the voice in my life, but I get a reset button. See, that's why we need Christ. Our lives, our race was meant to please God, not ourselves, not the person sitting next to you, not the person at your job. You were meant to please God. When you align that correctly, everything else will fall in line. I was meant to please God. Paul goes on and he says, this race that runners run, they run it for the prize. Imagine a race that you see and there's four or five runners and they're in position and they're waiting for the gun to go off or they're waiting for the whistle to blow. See, that runner, that person had been training for so long and putting in the effort, putting in the work, and the one thing they have in their mind is the prize, is the finish line. They live their lives with clarity. They live their lives with aim. They live their lives to win. They put maximum effort, passionate effort into everything that they need. Number three, it says, a disciplined life is one who exerts himself to win. Putting my energy in places that matter. You hear that? Putting my energy in focus, that's what Paul is saying. Putting the focus in the places that matter, it matters. Because there's a prize for us. And that prize that we have is not something that the world can offer, but only Christ can give. That's the one thing that I want to aim towards. Because Paul is trying to tap into the mind that it takes our attitude to be right, to be able to get this right. The athlete, when they're running, the runner, when they're about to get out, they don't get out of the gates and start walking. They get out and sprint because they're going up against the opponent to the right and to the left of them. You and I are in a battle. You and I are in a battle. We might be facing the opponents like athletes do, but we do have to face the opponents of anger and all those things and all the things that we have a hard time controlling. We got to fight. We got to be ready to fight. We got to exert our energy in places like that. The worst thing for us is we get complacent. We get complacent in life. I know that I have. I allow the things to repeat and repeat over and over, not knowing the damage that it's causing, not knowing that wildfire is starting to spread. Paul says we have to exert ourselves in the moments like this. What you focus on, you become. What you focus on, you become. It takes maximum effort. It takes all the strength, not your strength, but God's strength. That's why we team up with God. Because here's the thing, I'm too weak to say no on my own. I'm too weak to not give in. I'm too weak for those things. But where I'm weak, then I am made strong. Only by teaming up with Christ. You and I, we're too weak on our own. You and I, we're too weak by just trying to complete all these things on our own. We have to exert our energy in the right places, seeking Christ, glorifying him, pursuing our destiny with discipline. In order for you to run well, Paul says, in order for you to run well and to complete your race, you have to be conditioned. A disciplined life is a life that is conditioned well. Athletes that perform well, LeBron, like, we praise him for all the things that he's done. Now, I know LeBron is, like, a sore kind of subject to talk about. He is still really good. LeBron, like, we all praise him for what he does on the court. But it didn't start on the court. It started in his habits. It started in his habits. It started in the weight room. It started in the kitchen. It started in his habits. That's where it started. We see him raising up the trophies. We see him getting us to the finals. We see all those things, but that's not where it all starts. It all started in his habits. Paul said, my body is meant to serve Christ. Paul said that it's my habits that I have to make sure that I'm thinking of, that I'm thoughtful of. You guys ever met a Navy SEAL? Navy SEAL, one of our students' father is a ex-Navy SEAL. He says, once a Navy SEAL, always a Navy SEAL. And he talked about to me one time how Navy SEALs, they have this really interesting torture routine that they do. It's called the drowning challenge, right? Each and every, I don't think it's just with the Navy. I think it's other services as well. But he talks about how they purposely drown themselves. And I said to myself, who wants to purposely drown? I can barely swim right now. Who wants to purposely drown themselves? But he said they do that. When they do, they put their hands behind them, their backs, and they can't use their feet, and they have to do this. The reason why they do this, it's a technique to strengthen the mind, to teach the mind not to be fearful, to teach the mind not to give in. That's the reason why. I said to myself, you can do that in a lot of different ways other than trying to drown yourself. But you get that? It's training. It's in our habits. It's what we do outside so we can accomplish what's inside. You see what I'm saying? It's what we do outside so we can accomplish what's missing, what's lacking inside. So I wanted to talk about sometimes in order for us, our habits, sometimes, number one, we got to change the scene. We got to change the scene in our lives. Sometimes we're influenced into certain habits because of others' influence. Sometimes the people that we hang around with, sometimes the people that we surround ourselves around influence us to do the things we wish we couldn't and wouldn't do, which is why I believe in life groups. If you're not part of a life group, join a life group. Join a life group. I believe that Christian brothers and Christian sisters should surround themselves around other Christian people who have the same morals, the same values, and they can help one another reach the goals that they need to get to, because you and I can be accountable for one another. Iron sharpens iron, right? Iron sharpens iron. And that's important for us. So change the scene. Number two, meditate and spend time with God. Put your energy in looking to God, praying to God. Not just praying for God to get rid of what you're in, but pray to God to give you strength in that moment. Pour your energy into looking to him, to relating with him. Because here's the thing, God wants you to get to know him so bad. He knows you. He wants you to know him. Spend time with him. Make it a routine to avoid what you continue to give into. And when you get in that routine, stick with it. Even if you give in, always know you got that reset button. You got that restart. When you feel that impulse, when you feel that want to lash out, when you feel that need to worry and to feel like you got to be in control, pray right there. Say, God, give me the strength. Give me the strength and the ability to not give in right here, right now. Because here's the thing. You have a Savior who knows what it's like to be tempted. That's what makes it Christ amazing. He knows what it's like to be tempted. And that's why we go to him and we look to him in all those ways. Number three, make a goal and set a plan. Make an agenda of how long you can go without the impulse and not give in. Keep track of it. Remember, if you fall, that's why we got grace. Verse 26, I love how Paul ends this. He says, so do not run aimlessly. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Number five, a disciplined life is a life that sets you free. This is screaming out of this verse, this life of freedom. Some of you need to be broken free. There's this constant theme in the New Testament that talks about freedom that we have only if we trust in Christ. There's this constant theme that talks about that you and I had a price on our head, that you and I, we were fugitives, that you and I, we had this huge price, and his price was called sin, right? And somebody had to pay it. That's why Christ came. And so many times we keep doing the things Christ died for. So many times I continue to do the things he was murdered for. I just shouldn't feel guilty about it. I just feel like, man, that's love. That's love. Love at its utmost. But once you trust in that, it breaks you free. What I don't control now will get worse later. I don't know about you, but I want to be free. I want to be free from fear, free from anger, free from those moments. I want those moments to break the chain of feeling like I'm being carried around and being dragged around by all these things that continue to overrule me. The first step to get control is to admit you lost it. I believe in that. The first step to take control is to admit that you've lost control. I believe in that. I believe that the first step that for us to see progress is to understand we are the cause of it. You got to own up to it. Don't you want to be free from the captives? Christ paid that for you and I. I want to take advantage of that. That's truth. And point number six, as I close today's sermon, point number six, a disciplined life is a life of self-denial. The call of self-denial teaches us to pursue satisfaction only in God. Jesus said to himself that if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Don't deny yourself right now. Don't deny yourself just in this moment. Deny yourself daily. The reason why he says that is that you and I, we are liable to find pleasure in things other than God. We are liable to find pleasure in those impulses. We are liable to find pleasure into those moments. We are liable to find pleasure in our anger, in the bottle, in those things. We are liable to find pleasure in. That's why Jesus says, deny yourself. Deny everything. Hence the reason why we've lost control. We got to make some sacrifices in our lives. It makes me think of Christ. Again, Christ was tempted at every level. He went into the wilderness for 40 days, nothing to eat, all by himself, no one around him, no one to encourage him. He was tempted three times, told him to give in. But Jesus decided to be a servant of love rather than a servant of himself. He knew from the beginning that the cross was his mission. He knew from the beginning that the cross is the reason why he came. His eyes were set on serving his Father. His eyes were set on glorifying his Father only, not glorifying himself. And even when people said, you shall not do such a thing, he says, yes, because I'm intended for this purpose. That's our Savior. There was a time where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, some of you guys know about, called the oil press. And Jesus was in this garden and he was praying three times. He had prayed three times. He had asked God, the Father, take it away. But again, he decided to be a servant of love rather than to be a servant of himself. Church, when you need strength, look to Christ. That's what we got the cross for. When you need strength, look to Christ. Because Jesus decided to serve his Father so that you and I can be bought back. You and I can be redeemed. You and I can be adopted. You and I can be in this family. Jesus says, I want you so bad that I'll do anything to get you in my family. Even if I gotta break my body. Even if I gotta suffer at the hands of men. Even if I gotta do it for you. Jesus decided to serve his Father. Paul decided to serve Christ. Who are you going to serve today? Who are you going to serve today? Because again, there's a lot of things that are at stake. There's a lot of things on the line today. There's a lot of things that weigh heavy on us. And what you don't control now becomes that forest fire. Who are you going to serve today? And I encourage you as I end in prayer, as I get to this prayer, I want to pray with you the prayer of salvation. Because I know some of us may have not taken that step of accepting Christ. But I want to pray that prayer with you. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? Oh, Lord, thank you for this moment. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this sermon. Thank you for this message. You spoke so clearly to each and every one of us. Father God, I know that there's somebody in this room today that is in need to grab control, to take control of what they have lost. Some of us have serious anger issues. The anger is overwhelming. The anger has ruined things. The anger is why people left us. Some of us have serious addiction. Some serious addiction issues. We're addicted to things that bring pleasure, but only for that moment. But you are the one that says that you are the living water. Anyone who comes after you shall never thirst again. Lord, I pray right now for those minds and these hearts in this room today that they would accept you as their Lord and your Savior. Father, I pray for those right now, for those who are in prayer, I pray that you would repeat these words after me. Lord Jesus, save me. Come into my life. Make me into the person you would have me to be. I'm sorry. I've messed up. I've given in. I kept doing it. I didn't catch it. But I know you came to save and find the lost. And I'm found. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose for me as well. I believe that you are the Son of God. And I want to trust you with my life. If you prayed that prayer, you accepted Jesus in your heart. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Thank you, Lord, for this day. In Christ's name, amen.